Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
We're going to come back to that psalm in a way that I had not intended, but there is something about this last part, Psalm 13. The psalmist begins, how long? Which I think back to my days riding with Sally on trips and my other two sisters and my mom and dad, and we would drive for, it seemed like days, but it probably wasn't, but minutes, and we would always ask the question, are we there yet? Have you ever been in a car with kids or been the kid? Are we there yet? How much longer? This psalmist probably has a little bit more problem than kids waiting to get to grandma's house. But he asks, it hasn't happened yet. He has not arrived. He's still asking how long, but he ends by saying, I trust in your unfailing love. That's where we're going to be today. And we're going to read in a minute from Mark chapter 4 in just a few minutes. But the question, how long? It's not a question that was just asked by the psalmist. We ask it a lot. How much longer is this going to last? And sometimes I think I can tell when the praise band thinks it's time for the sermon to be over, and they're asking, how much longer is Bob going to talk? And what they'll do is they'll start just suiting up. You know, Alan and Steve will get their guitars over their straps on their shoulders, and they, okay, time to go, Bob. Hint. How long? But it's really a deeper problem than that, isn't it? Than just the preachers taking a while. This is what I think we sometimes see, and we talked about prayer in our class this morning and last week as well, but there are times when our prayers revolve around our request for what is a problem-free life. If you'll listen to a lot of prayers, it'll seem like this is the idea. And we talked about this. Sarah met her in class, talked about the idea of God not being a genie in the bottle whose goal is to make me have a problem-free life. That's not what prayer is about. That's not the role that God has with me, that he is the person that he sent Jesus to make me have a problem-free life. And so we find ourselves in the middle of problems all the time, and we're asking, how long is this one going to last? There's many metaphors in the Bible and in life about pain and about problems and troubles, but the idea of the storm is one that resonates with many of us. The idea that we're in a storm. Life has got me now, and it's really beating me up, and it's like a storm. And I'm having trouble in areas of my life, and I can't control it. It's out of control, and it's a storm. And some of the storms we're in are really terrifying. Some are even deadly. Now, I don't know, I can remember, Sally probably may not be too young to remember this, but she remembers things that even happened while she was before she was born, she says she remembers them. So we were going down to McAllen, Texas, and we got in a storm, and this was in the days where you actually did all windows rolled up, you know. There was no air conditioning in those cars. We did have a car. It wasn't a buggy, no horse. But the hail was coming, and I thought, you know, I'm like 6 years old. I'm going to die right here in this car. Such a bad, and my mom and dad said, no, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. But some storms are really bad, and I want you to watch this one. Woo! The movie is Impossible. The name of it's Impossible. It's about the Thailand and tsunami, and it's based on a true story of a true family who went through the storm similar to this and was scattered and spread, and it's their story of the next couple of days after this storm. Sometimes, though, our lives feel like this kind of storm. Something hits us. It's not something we expect, and we can't do anything about it, and we need help. This was the situation that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this situation is described. We studied about it in Luke 8 a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to do it again. We're going to look at the Mark version. So if you have a Bible, we're going to read Mark 4, starting at verse 35. And we're going to think about the idea of a storm, a literal storm with water that might drown us. But then we're also knowing this is about life that also might drown us. So that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. I don't know what that means about just as he was, like he didn't have his swimsuit on or something, but he didn't have his fishing pole, but he said they're going to take him just as he was. They took him in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was very nearly swamped. So I want you to see this is not just some rain, hail. It's also the waves are so big, they're coming over the boat, and they're afraid the boat is going to be swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Some of you may have the gift of sleep. I don't know. I do. I can sleep anywhere, anytime, doing anything. Famously, on buses where I'm with a football team, I can sleep. Jesus seems to be this kind of guy, had the gift of sleep. I can sleep. He's sleeping, and there's a storm, and there's waves going over the boat, but he's asleep. And then the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Question for you today, as we'll come back to some of those phrases. But first, what kind of storm are you in? What kind of storm are you in? And I want to suggest some categories of storm. And I was in a storm driving over here yesterday. I wasn't that much afraid of the storm. I was terrified of the other drivers. And they almost killed me, but the storm wasn't that bad. But what kind of storm are you in, or have you been in, or might you see yourself in? And here's just some categories. And I'd have to say that all of these are bugging me right now. So I don't know, maybe it's a lot of different types of storms. But Sometimes the storm is in our family. You know, the saying is true that my greatest blessing have been my kids, and my greatest just concern has been my kids. The biggest storms have come because of my kids. I love them, and yet, sometimes life is rough because of them. I'm sure my parents would say the same thing about me and my siblings, probably more my siblings than me, but nevertheless, trouble, family trouble. Sometimes it's in a marriage. Sometimes it's where some of us find ourselves now taking care of our parents. Storm. Family storm. Sometimes there's conflict in a family that goes deeper than it seems like because, you know, you just can't get rid of them. You can't walk away from them. And so when there's conflict, it hangs around. But maybe it's financial. Maybe you're at a place where you're wondering, is it going to make it to the next month? Are you going to make it to the next month? And maybe you don't have any problem with that, but maybe you have family members who do. I don't know. I have this in my family where my kids are, you know, they total up their bills and they total up their income and it's not a match. And so you give them some instructions. And of course, they don't follow those instructions. They're adults. But it's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's harder than that. It's a storm. And some of us are in some health problem, having some health storms. And there's nothing we can do about it. Sometimes storms are deadly. Sometimes they're terrifying. And sometimes you wonder when you go to the doctor, like I did 2 weeks ago, and they take the little thing off of you because you got the little thing growing on you, and you wonder what it's going to be. And some of you have probably been in the room or with people when you got the word, and the word was cancer. For me, it wasn't. But you know that word. Sometimes you've been in the room where you've heard it, and it might not have been you, or it might have been you, or it might have been your children, or it might have been your parents, and the word you got was divorce. Or maybe you got the word fired. You're fired. My dad is, looking, always wondering where words come from. Well, the word fired, the term fired, you got fired from your job, Donald Trump didn't invent that. We used that word before he showed up. As a matter of fact, it came from back in Scotland years and years and years ago. When you were fired from your job, what they would do is they'd come to your house and they'd burn your house down. This is what it meant for you to be fired. So I've lost some jobs, but I have never actually been fired because they wanted you out. You had to leave. You got fired. Well, sometimes you lose a job and it feels like that. Feels like that. What kind of storm are you in? Sometimes it's something going on inside. And I've seen this. I have heard about it. I've been empathetic with people who have mental illness. But I never really got it until it got me. And next thing you know, I could understand much better when someone was describing me what it means to be depressed. Sometimes the storm is inside. But what you do know about these kinds of storms, just like that kind of storm you just saw, there's nothing we can do to fix it. I can't fix it. Doctors can't fix it. You know, I was a kid in the 60s. Michael and I were. And back in those days, doctors were promising, science was promising that by the time we got to the 21st century, cancer would be gone. There wouldn't be such a thing as cancer. But doctors can't fix it. I praise God for sometimes they can, but sometimes they can't. Therapy can't fix it. I praise God for therapists. I've got one. She's good. But she can't fix it. Sometimes you think, well, maybe I need more education. I need more training. I can't fix it. I just need to work harder or work smarter. Be a little more careful with my money I do have. I can't fix it. Sometimes I just need to take a break and rest. That can't fix it. And here's the disciples. They're in the boat, and they can't stop that storm. And so they were wondering, this is the question, can God fix it? Can God fix it? I got a storm. Can God stop that storm? But even if He can, will He? And this is the dominant question that Scripture asks. In the Old Testament, it was rarely, very, very rarely the case where they pleaded to God wondering, could He do it? But their question was, would He do it? And here's the question in the boat. They come to Jesus, they wake Him up, and they say, don't you care if we drown? The question wasn't, could He do it? They knew He could do it. So He comes to them and asks the question. They say, don't you care if we drown? And He comes back and says, do you not have faith? What's His point here? His point here is, you know I can do it. You're asking, do I really love you? Do I really care about you? And sometimes we ask the question, we wonder if God cares about us because we know what we've done and we're screwed up too much. Have you ever thought about that? That, oh, the reason I'm in this bad situation is God has given up on me because I've done too much stuff, too many mistakes. It's beyond the consequences of my mistake. It's now just God. He won't fix it because maybe He's let go of me. But Jesus comes and says, no, I will fix it. But it might not be today, or it might not be tomorrow. So what does it look like when you're in the storm with Jesus? Now, this is really important. Not after the storm, when all is calm and well, but what does it look like to be with Jesus in the storm? While the storm is going on, while the tsunami is still drowning you and throwing your kids here and there, you're with Jesus in the storm. My friends Dan and Rita moved to Abilene after he was a dentist for years in Beaumont. And he came to ACU. He retired. He got out of his dental practice, and he was going to teach. And he taught biology at ACU, and his wife Rita worked for me. And in his early 50s, Dan got early onset Alzheimer's. And I've been involved with some people with Alzheimer's, but none like Dan, because Rita and Dan were good friends of mine. And Dan went from being able to walk around the house in the neighborhood. He couldn't work. And they lived a couple of blocks from school, and every once in a while I'd see Dan, and he'd be kind of confused. And he'd ask, where's Rita now? And says, she's in her office. Let's go there, Dan. And we'd go. And then after a while, it got worse, and so he had to go to a facility. And in Abilene, we have one called Windcrest, and it's very, very good and helpful for people who have Alzheimer's. And they took care of Dan there, but the Alzheimer's continued to get worse. And eventually, what they offered at Windcrest wasn't something Dan needed anymore. He needed less care, really, because by this time, in his battle with Alzheimer's, all he did was lay in a bed and moan. So he went to another place. And so at this point, we had a Sunday at church where everybody put prayer requests on a card. And one card came in and said, could you please, and it described the situation, no names, but it described the situation. It said, could you please pray for my father-in-law that God would take him home? I got that card, and because I recognized the situation, I went to the family, said, yes, I will. So I went with Rita to go visit Dan, and I would pray for Dan to pass away. She couldn't do that, but she wanted someone who would. So I sat with Dan, and he was laying on the table, on the bed, I should say, and he was well cared for what they could do. He was wearing a diaper, a shirt, and he was moaning. We left, and I walked outside with Rita, and I said, Rita, you know Dan's not really in that body anymore. She said, I know. I said, you don't really have to come here, because it was excruciatingly painful for her to go. I said, you don't really have to come here anymore. She said, yes, I do. I made a promise that I would stick with him no matter what happened. A few weeks later, Dan passed away. What is it like to be with someone while things are terrible? Have you ever sat with someone in pain? Whether that's psychological or emotional or physical pain, you've sat with them during the pain, and with you sits Jesus. Not yet healing, not yet calming the storm, but he's there. I know some of you have done that. Pam did that this morning. Sally does this on a regular basis where you sit with someone. Amanda does this. We sit with people who are in the storm, and sometimes people sit with us in our storm. Being with Jesus in the storm doesn't make the pain necessarily go away, but it makes it bearable. And I believe there are several reasons for this. And so I want to suggest some things that we could focus on during the storm. During the storm. These are three during the storm ideas that we would put our mind, our heart, and our soul to. One, and there's others. These aren't the only ones. But one is to celebrate his promises. God's made some promises. And one of the places that these promises are outlined, or described, I should say, is in Hebrews chapter 11. The first part of Hebrews chapter 11, the middle part, you know pretty well. It's all about faith. This is the hall of fame of faith. By faith, Abraham did this, and then this happened. And by faith, Noah did this, and then this happened. And by faith, Moses did this, and then this happened. And it gets down to the end, though, and it talks about these guys. And we're going to read from verse 32. What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, they escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength and they became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and were raised to life again, and there were others who were... Whoa, wait a minute. So far, here's everything. I have faith. Things are good. I have faith. We win the battle. I have faith. The dead are healed. I have faith. But then, there are others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goats, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves, holes in the ground. These were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. They didn't get the promise, but they had the promise. You see what I'm saying? They didn't receive the promise. They didn't receive the healing, but they had faith in the promise. That the promise was going to come, even if it didn't come in this lifetime. I still pray for Olin to live a pain-free life. But that freedom may not come on this side of the grave. And I celebrate the promise that one day we'll all have a new body. I want one with hair. And that's funny, but I want Olin to have one that's pain-free. And we all have people in circumstances where the storm is not over, but Jesus is still with us in the storm. So the second thing, I want to seek His presence. Psalm 23, you know this verse. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. No, it doesn't say that after the valley walk, He's with me. He's with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He's with me in the storm. He's with me in the storm. And so part of it is seeking His presence and recognizing that you're not abandoned in this time of storm. That even when life seems to be pounding you, God is with you. He's not abandoned you in that. And then, focus on His purposes. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about some problems he has. And I'm not sure what the problems are. He calls it a thorn. Thorns are irritating. I guess this thorn was very irritating. He kept praying. He prayed, pleaded, it says three times, verse 8, with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said, no. What? He said, no. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says he's going to boast in his more gladly about his weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions, in difficulties. He, what? Takes delight in them, for when I am weak, then I am strong. This is maybe a shock to you. It is to me when I really think about it and how I really want to live my life. But God's purpose for me may not be to make me feel good. You understand that? It may not be God's purpose in my life to make me feel good. That may not be God's number one plan for Bob. That there might be a different kind of purpose, and sometimes He'll use my weakness, my storm. I cannot tell you how many people have come to me and asked me about being divorced. A couple of weeks ago, I was giving a talk with 380 men, and I was talking about my life, and one of them came up to me afterwards and said, your talk scared me to death. He described his situation, and I said, yeah, you should be scared to death. Here are some things I wish I would have done 20 years ago. And if I could have done some of these things 20 years ago, I may not have been in this situation. God using my failure, my pain, to bless someone else. Cannot tell you how many times when I've talked about being depressed and the difficulty of getting up sometimes in the morning and the pain of just living through anxiety at times, how someone would come up to me afterwards and say, you know, me too. I'm afraid to say that to some people, but I can say that to you because you get it. And many of you are in the same situation where because you've had an experience or you're in the middle of a storm, God is speaking to you in powerful ways, and maybe His purpose for you isn't to cure you today, but instead it's to use you today to bless others, that His kingdom might more fully come, that we might have more dependence on Him. This is the lesson Pam was trying to teach me this morning when she came up and sat by me. You know, sometimes Pam just comes up and starts talking to you, you know. Wait. No, all the time Pam just comes up and starts talking to you. And so she's telling me about her mom and the difficulty of taking care of her mom and the fact that her mom is becoming more and more dependent on her, and how last night in the middle of a teaching, she understands that, hey, my mom is dependent on me like I need to be dependent on God. Sometimes this is what the purpose of God's, sometimes our pain isn't to get through it, because in the middle of it, he wants to do something to make this world more like his kingdom coming. On the back of your handout are the words to the song, Just Be Held. And we're going to sing this song in just a moment. But I want you to look down at the third paragraph. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Man, this is a difficult thing to hear when your world is falling apart. But maybe there's more to it than that. It's falling apart. It's not falling apart. It's falling into place. It's changing. And it feels like it's falling apart. But it's falling into place. The next one. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. Isn't this what the disciples said? Don't you care? If your eyes are on the storm, but if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I've always loved you, and I always will. Not a tear is wasted, and in time you'll understand that I'm painting beauty with the ashes. In the last paragraph, lift your hands, lift your eyes. In the storm is where you'll find me. In the storm, not in the peace, calm after the storm. In the storm is where you'll find me. And where you are, not where you're going to be after the storm is over, but where you are, I'll hold your heart. Come to me and find your rest in the arms of the God that won't let you go. We're going to sing this song. Let's go ahead and stand up.